You are listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Alpers. As a friendly reminder, it would mean a lot to us if you guys could subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. We also would love for you to rate and review us. We love to read all the lovely things you have to say about us. We love for you to feed our ego. So keep it up, and then we'll keep cracking these things out.
Yes, yes, please. I am super excited about our guest today. First of all, I love ceramics. I just think that talent and that art is so awesome. But we really haven't had a place in Stockton where you can not only purchase ceramic art, you know, obviously you can do it at a lot of fairs and festivals, but actually get your hands dirty on it. I know they have one in Lodi. So I'm excited that Puka has decided to invest here in Stockton and do this. So I'm just excited about learning more and, you know, we can all go in and make our own ashtray.
Heck, oh my gosh, I know. One of my girlfriends who lives in Stockton, she's been actually going up to Sacramento to go do pottery classes, and shout out to Carrie, who just gave me she made me a cat ashtray, but now I'm like, oh, dang, girl.
Okay, we're not all a bunch of smokers, by the way, I just want you to know that. Let's just make that perfectly clear.
It's so cute, though. But I had the opposite effect. I had to take ceramics in college because I was an art major, and I could not stand the feeling of the clay on my hands. I was so dry. And I wish I would have known more about like pottery and stuff at the time, because looking back on it, like I have some mugs and things I made that I still use from like 15 years ago. And I don't, it's not like I hang up any of this other nonsense I made in art school. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like I like the practicality of the ceramic.
So it doesn't live up to that like whole Patrick Swayze ghost vibe that you were going for?
I did not have that same experience at Boise State. So yeah, wah, wah. But anyway, so on today's episode, we are talking with Julian Puka Pin, a local ceramic artist from Stockton and the owner of Puka Tutus Pottery. So Puka also has her own ceramic studio and is a member of the San Joaquin Potters Guild. And before we get into the main interview portion of the podcast, Puka, can you tell us a little bit about your Stockton story?
Yeah, of course. So I came in Stockton about 5 years ago, and I came from the Bay Area. I was also traveling around a lot in my RV because I'm a bit of a traveler, and I kind of gained inspiration from a lot of different places, but I always ended up here in Stockton. So I really felt like, you know, this is definitely my home because I keep coming back here, and I'm just so happy to be surrounded by so many other artists. I had no idea that art was such a big deal here in Stockton. We have such diversity here, and that's definitely a breeding ground for art.
That is so dope. Honestly, we get so excited. Like, I'm from Stockton originally, left for a long time and came back. But to hear these stories of people who as adults came to Stockton and were like, oh, yeah, I want to be here and I want to be a part of this town. It feeds into this whole mindset. And Wes and I talk about this all the time. It's like, you guys get it. Like I don't know. There's something to get about Stockton. It's not for everybody, yes, but for those of us who get it and like want to be a part of it, it's super inspiring and stuff. So that's,
yeah, it's a safe haven for artists for sure.
I love to hear that because I think obviously there are a lot of things people say about Stockton, but they sometimes they don't appreciate the level of artists that we have in this community.
Very true.
Through Art Expressions and the other galleries and the universities and colleges, and just people who do it because they're passionate about it. I think it's awesome. So we're excited that you're here. So
me too.
Before we get into Puka Tutus, let's talk a little bit about how did you personally get inspired to get into doing ceramics?
Yeah, so I have been doing pottery since age 13. I was part of a middle school club on Wednesdays. And so every Wednesday I'd go in really early in the morning, and there were only 3 kids in the class. So I got plenty of attention and instruction. But yeah, I started off then, and I kind of continued through high school. I like to call myself a self-taught potter just because, you know, the instructors, they kind of give me a little bit of guidance, but I kind of put my own spin on things. I continued throughout college, and that is where it really took off. I was gifted a kiln by my pottery mentor. And that, you know, is a great gift because, you know, kilns are very expensive. Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. Very expensive. And I was just so grateful because, you know, now I am what I am today and I can provide classes and I can make my own personal work with that kiln. Yeah.
I'm that amped right now.
Yeah. I love
it. I'm kind of freaking out. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. So what's the story behind the name Puka?
Right. So Puka, so the full name of the, you know, my business is Puka Tutis Atok. Puka means red in Quechua. Quechua is an indigenous language of the Incas in Peru, of the Andes. So Puka means red. Tutis is kind of a nickname that was given to me as a child. It kind of means nighttime. So it's red night. And then Atok means fox. So the full name means Red Night Fox. And that's my logo. There's a little red fox. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And also, I was reading your bio, and you do have some interesting lineage. What's your background?
Yes. So I'm mostly Peruvian, but I also have Mexican and Salvadorian ancestry. But I would travel to Peru very often in my childhood. I have family that lives in Lima. So every twice a year, I would go visit and I fell in love with seeing all the indigenous pottery in the little markets. We would bring home plenty of pottery to display around the house. So I kind of grew around a lot of pottery.
which leads me almost to like another question. Can you open a restaurant too while you're doing this? Yeah. Like,
oh, that would be great. I've been looking for that.
I know. Well, and our Lantern Festival in December was actually based in Peru. The whole theme of the Lantern Festival that was at the ballpark.
Yeah. Yes, I did see that. I was very proud.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So I checked out your website and the stuff is beautiful. And of course you have participated in the past in, you actually attended our Brew Fest and sold some stuff there. You participated in 2 years of our Stockton Flavor Fest. So all your stuff is homemade, correct?
Yes, right in my little studio.
So talk us through your creative process, because I was looking at it and I'm like, I love the fact that, you know, sometimes pottery is all about like the pottery I've done, the basic ceramic stuff that I have done at like classes. Like you get a piece of white stuff that's probably already made and then you paint it and it gets glazed. But of course, a lot of your pottery is some glazed, some not. You have art that's attached to it. So just tell me a little bit about that creative process and how you come up with your visions.
Right. So pottery, I definitely started doing pottery and it really helped me with like patience because it's a very patient craft. So once you throw something on the wheel, you have to let it dry for a certain amount of time. So that could take, you know, a week, it could take a few days, and that depends totally on the weather. So in the wintertime, things are slowed down even more. And that kind of makes a lot of sense because it kind of connects you more to the natural world. And in the wintertime, things kind of slow down. So, but anyways, after you let it dry, after you throw it, you have to turn it upside down and trim it. After that, you have to attach things. So like a handle or sculptures. I personally like to add sculptures. And then it goes through the first firing. After that, you can add your colors and it goes through the second firing and it's fully vitrified. And by vitrified, I mean it's turned to glass. And I work with stoneware pottery, so it's very durable. The indigenous people of Mexico and Peru, they used earthenware. So that's a little bit more porous, good for cooking. So it's a different style of pottery, but definitely inspired by my ancestors.
That is so cool.
And this makes sense, as I think the whole patience part of it is probably why I did not excel in my ceramics class in college.
Oh.
Because I was like... Can we get moving in this process?
Yes.
This is like, I'm ready to be done with this.
Yes. This is why I go in and paint and then come back a week later after it's been fired. I'm like, that's yeah.
I struggle with that a lot, but it has taught me a lot of patience and I'm very grateful for it. I have learned a lot of lessons from clay.
So because I've seen some of your mugs. So if you talk about this process, how long does it take from the time you say, I'm going to make a mug today until that mug is done?
Right. So technically, the whole process takes about a month because I have to make multiple pieces so I can fit them all in the kiln. It's really bad to fire the kiln a bit empty because it damages the elements.
Oh.
So we try to fill it up. But basically it takes a month because, you know, it takes about a week to trim it. And then we have to slow dry it even after that if I had attached a handle. So, and that is to prevent any cracking so that it's as durable as possible for the customer. Yeah.
Holy moly.
I know. God, I could pick up a hobby and drop it within the amount of.
Yeah.
I agree.
Maybe I need to.
See, this could be your next Zen moment.
Oh, yeah. I
requires
that,
a lot of Christmas, discipline. Yeah.
Because, a lot of discipline.
Yes. Because it's just like you have to plan your weeks accordingly and very, you know, meticulously. Otherwise, you could have a week where you have nothing to do or you've missed opportunity to create more mugs, you know?
Gosh. Wow. Okay. So we talked about the process. So what's kind of your inspiration behind the designs that you're coming out with?
Yeah. So because I spent a lot of my childhood in Peru and I was surrounded by a lot of Peruvian indigenous ceramics, I definitely am inspired by my ancestors. And I'm definitely inspired by the natural world. Like I said earlier, I liked to travel in my RV. I went up to the Pacific Northwest and I kind of fell in love with the fungi wildlife there. So I have a lot of mushroom themed creations, as well as a lot of, you know, indigenous pottery with the symbols and deities and things like that. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love all the little mushrooms. God, the jewelry. So pukas, it's not just like, you know, what you think of like in terms of typical ceramics, like the amount of jewelry you're coming out with was so
dope.
It's so small. Like that's the thing too. I don't know. I guess I'm really blown away with ceramics just because it's something that's way out of my comfort zone in terms of being artsy. And I'm just like, dude, this is.
Get your hands dirty.
Yeah. And the stuff that Puka's doing, it's like, so I noticed yesterday there was like a mug with a serpent on the handle, which I thought was just cool. But also, what's the story behind the chimeneas?
Oh, the chimeneas. So honestly, I've always been in love with, you know, I guess the incense. And, you know, that's a very ritualistic thing in indigenous culture. And I wanted to kind of introduce that to, you know, customers in a more, you know, lax way, like a chimney. Because usually you see smoke coming out of a chimney. It makes you feel homey. It feels, you know, comforting. And people just fell in love with that. So now, you know, people use it for their own incense or little tea light. But yeah, people seem to really like the chimeneas.
And what is the wall altar? Explain that to me. I saw that.
Oh, yes. So those were specifically made for Dia de los Muertos. Okay. Usually people have like pets or loved ones that have passed on. And the little wall altar is a perfect way to make a little ofrenda, which is an offering to whoever who has passed on for them to come visit through that area. So you can like put little trinkets on it. You could put your little candle and it invites them to come visit you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. I thought everything was beautiful. Yeah.
Wes was like freaking out yesterday. Looking through the website. It was awesome.
That's so nice to hear.
It was great.
So you also offer pottery classes. So let's walk through that. Like, how do people sign up for that? What kind of different experiences they are? And is there anything that they should know before, like, before they sign up?
Gotcha. So you can sign up for either to give it a spin, which is a 1-day workshop on the wheel, just to give it a try, or you can do an 8-week course. That would include way more instruction. We start off from making bowls, which are the easiest form to make, to making vases, more shapely pieces. And you can sign up on my website, www.pukatutis.com. Things to know before you start is to definitely be patient. So when you're doing pottery, you are basically connecting back to the earth, and it's a great way to ground yourself. So it's going to ground you back to more natural cycles. And that's going to be a little difficult for us in a day and age that is filled with technology. So
instant gratification.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's my little name.
You understand. Yeah. So it's definitely a very patient craft. And, you know, it's best to be very forgiving with yourself, because the clay will also, you know, be very forgiving with you. Yeah.
So on the take it for a spin class, how long is that class?
So each class is an hour and a half. Okay. I do a little demo at the beginning, and then, you know, you get started on your piece, and I'm right next to you and I'm guiding you, making sure that everything's running smoothly. I also do like couples classes. I had a couple come in yesterday and they had a great time. With those classes, I would go ahead and trim and glaze your piece. But if you join the 8-week class, you can trim, you go throughout the entire process.
Okay. Yeah. So one of the things we asked you early on when you came in today, was, like for businesses and for team building and that sort of thing, people could reach out to you and get more information about that.
Yes, of course. And at the end of February here, I'm going to be offering mobile pottery classes. So that will be to your home or a certain location. I've gotten much interest about team bonding. I agree that it's a very good idea for, you know, families and friends to try it out. Yeah.
You're going to load up those wheels in the RV?
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. It's a funny story. My entire life, I've always wanted a really nice van, you know, specifically the color red, because it's one of my favorite colors. And last month, a retired potter emailed all of us potters saying he's getting rid of his van. And it's in perfect condition. I finally, you know, I it's now in my possession. And I'm just so grateful because it's exactly what I needed for my mobile pottery sessions.
Yeah. You are manifesting the best stuff in your world. This is so dope. Yeah.
How big of groups can you handle at a time?
Six. Or for mobile pottery, it would be four. Okay. But in my personal studio, I can take six students.
Okay. That is so cool.
And would everything be wheel-based or could you also do like hand-built stuff?
Right. So about that, I can do six students for wheel-based workshops. Okay. I also offer play with clay, which is a more younger student class. So good for elementary school students. And that is more hand-building, sculpting, little trinkets, jars, and things of the sort. So I offer a variety of clay workshops. Yeah.
So you could totally do that as a corporate thing too, hand built stuff for people. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how the indigenous usually made their pottery. You see those big vases and you think, oh, they might have been made with a wheel, but no, they're made with coils. And that's a hand building technique.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. I love it.
Definitely that patience thing on the coil.
Oh, yeah. And they were really great.
Snakes. Yeah. Yeah. Faster.
They were really great with making patterns, and I don't think they used, you know, a ruler or anything like that.
No doubt.
So they were just very naturally talented at making equal symbols throughout the entire pottery piece. Yeah.
That's crazy. The patience again. God.
Yes.
God, I love it. Okay. So is this your first go at teaching classes? Like, is this the first time you've gotten into this?
I kind of come from a family of educators. So my dad is a principal of an elementary school, and I always grew up helping him around the school as a TA for different grade levels. And I guess I kind of just transitioned my teaching skills to pottery. And I did for a while teach at the Chartreuse Muse in Modesto. Had a really great time there. That's how I started teaching pottery. So I just, you know, kind of transferred my skills over to my own studio. Yeah.
No, that's amazing. Cause I knew when you reached out on Instagram and I was going through your page, I was like, oh, this is so awesome that you're going to be teaching stuff in the community because, you know, as a visitor bureau, we want to give people things to do in town.
Yes.
It's great to shop for art, but it's another thing for someone to get to go experience, make something and meet you and et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but do you have like, what's your future plans for Puka Tutu's
pottery? Oh, yes. So at the moment I basically have opened up my personal studio to the public, but my future goal is to have, you know, a real stone location here in Stockton, because there is a necessity for pottery wheel throwing classes. I have been asked about it for years and I have just now opened up my studio. And so also I wanted to mention that I got a grant from the city of Stockton to fund more affordable wheel throwing classes. So I will be opening some more affordable classes, and I'm just super excited to bring this to Stockton because I know we need it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed.
Yes. Yeah. So let's, before we talk about where people can find you online, let's talk about your studio. Like, where's it at? Are there certain hours? Can people just drop in? What can they find there? Let's do a little bit of that.
Sure. So I live here in Stockton, about two blocks from UOP, in the country club area. My studio is in the detached garage of my home.
Nice.
So it's kind of its own little building. People just walk through the gate and it leads you right to my garage, which is my studio. And so we have six wheels in there, and I basically have a scheduling application on my website. If you go to the Give It a Spin workshop, which is a one-day workshop, it'll just show you the available dates. Usually from 10 to 6, I believe, are the available times as well. But basically just go up on www.pukatutis.com and you'll see the availability for workshops through there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do you have things like for sale in your studio too, or are you still doing like sales exclusively at events and things like
yes.
that?
Yes. So most of my sales are done through events or okay. through my website. I have, I try to do a monthly inventory drop.
Sure.
So yeah, I still have a few pieces. I have a few altars on there at the moment, but most of my inventory has sold, and there's a need for snake handles, serpent handle mugs at the moment. And I promised you all that I'd make it. So at the end of this month, they'll be up on the website. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And that is, just so your listeners know, it's a PUKATUTIS.com. And on social, what are your handles for you, just on Instagram or where?
Yep, I'm just on Instagram, and that's puka.tutis. So PUKA.TUTIS.
Love it.
Awesome, fantastic.
Love it, love it. Okay, and this is our final question, and it's a fun one. So where is your favorite place to take someone who's visiting you from out of town while they're in Stockton?
I am a big fan of bowling. it's funny. I started off bowling on Wii, of course, right? And I wanted to try it in real life. And I guess I'm not that bad in real life either. So I want to bring that. People there, and you know, we have plenty of fun there for sure.
That's so cute. I love, honestly, no one's ever said bowling. Yeah. Are you a Pacific or a West Lane bowler?
I think it's Pacific. Yeah, I think that's called Pacific. Yeah. Yep.
Love it. Wii bowling translate into actually being good at bowling?
Honestly, I think it did. I wouldn't say everyone agrees with that, but I think it did.
For all the boys and girls at home whose parents said video games wouldn't lead them anywhere.
Yep.
Go try your stuff out in a real bowling lane.
That's
yeah.
funny. That's awesome.
That's awesome. 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 Well, Puka, thank you so much for coming in today. This was, I'm freaking out. I don't know. This is a great story. You are very cool.
Thank you for having me on.
Beautiful. Yeah. And this is just such a neat and inspiring story for other people who are, you're like a business, like development story in and of itself too. Like came to Stockton, found the opportunity, making,
yes.
you know, opening your doors to other people, teaching classes. It's a really cool tale.
Definitely.
Of like the potential yeah. of this area and stuff. And we are just, we're very excited for you. And just
yeah, thank you.
Bring to the city.
Stockton yeah. has opened up a lot of doors for me. So I could only do a favor in return.
Awesome. 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 Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
Very much.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Yes, you're so welcome. And now we're going to head to our friend Anthony for a Stockton pop culture moment.
Thank you, Amy. If you were to drive through Stockton, no matter which way you came in or head out, you're bound to see some beautiful artwork. Murals and billboards so vibrant, they seem as if they're soaring off of a building or structure they're painted on. Of the many talented people that have decorated the city, one that stands out is artist Carlos Lopez, whose works have graced large billboards and buildings throughout this city. Born and raised in Stockton, Carlos first exhibited his talent by drawing into a sand patch while his father was preparing to pour cement. Seeing his son's talent, he quickly enrolled Carlos into the Harlequin House Galleries in Stockton. Learning quickly as he grew, Carlos went on to design scores of posters, banners, and theater sets in high school. He attended San Juan Key Delta College and later transferred to Sacramento State, pursuing his passion throughout. His father being a social activist fighting for farm workers, Carlos became very involved with the Chicano movement in college. This would influence his love for painting murals. Carlos would end up getting a job at the same spot he bought his supplies from, Scott Brothers Sign Company in Stockton. Being the youngest employee, he gained insight on painting from the older employees that worked there. Combined with his studies and his natural talent, it was an insight that benefited his craft. Carlos is responsible for the Welcome to Stockton, Stockton's Someplace Special, and the local sports team art that graces the water tanks off I-5 and Benjamin Holt Drive. In the 80s, he became a billboard artist for 3M Media here in Stockton, which expanded to works in Redding, Eureka, Red Bluff, and even beyond California to Oregon and Washington. His murals in our area include works at Sierra and East Union High Schools in Manteca, Edison and Lincoln High in Stockton, the front of the Children's Museum of Stockton, and the building-sized paintings at the numerous Nugget Markets in the Central Valley, and the large mural of John the Baptist and the Virgin Mary at the Annunciation School in Stockton. For more on Carlos Lopez, you can go to carloslopezdesigns.com, follow Carlos Lopez Designs on Facebook, or read the 2023 record article on Carlos, from which the information above was provided by.
I love it. I went to Annunciation. I didn't know that he was the guy who did that. Mm-hmm. I remember when he did do that, I was going there when he did it. So that was, damn. I mean, I left Annunciation in 03. Yeah. So sometime before that. So that guy's been doing stuff. Because I think the picture we saw of him, he was standing in front of that giant lion painting that's on the, what's that building, Wes? It's the right, the restaurant supply store downtown.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So he just did that one, too. So he is. That's the man. And that's awesome.
Cool. That one's really cool, too. So, yeah, wow, that's awesome. Cool. That's great information. And murals are such a great thing to, you know, it's like public art, right? And it's such a kind of great way to beautify an old building or just beautify a space. So, awesome. Thanks for sharing, Anthony.
Of course. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. All right, you all. To learn more about Stockton and see all the events on the city's largest events calendar, be sure to check out visitstockton.org. And when you are there, you can sign up for our weekly events newsletter.
And we want to thank Julian for joining us today. It was so great to learn about Pukatutis and all the great things they're doing. Go out and take a class, check out her Instagram, visit that website, and support her next time you see her at a local festival or event.
Tell her you heard about her on This Is Stockton podcast.
While you're leaving a review.
Please, yes, exactly.
Please.
For supporting images and insights, follow at This Is Stockton podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Esteves with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.